you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Psalm 29. Psalm 29. Psalm 29. We're going to read starting in verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto him the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, and Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. That's a word for somebody this morning, because you're in a hot place right now, and God wants you to know that he's going to speak a word that brings you out of that hot place. And no matter how destructive it may seem, God is going to do something that relieves the pressure and brings you out of that hot place into a glorious place. Yes? Let's keep reading. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. Oh, can I just say something else? It says the voice of the Lord causes the deer to give birth. Yeah. If God can make a deer fruitful, and don't you worry about producing fruit that's going to glorify God, because he can speak a word that can make you fruitful in the moment of time. And some of you are probably looking at what you don't have, and you don't realize what you do have, because you're looking at what somebody else's has. But God wants you to know he has something for you. And if he can make a deer bring forth fruit, he definitely can make you bring forth fruit. And he wants to encourage you in the depths of your heart. No matter what it looks like, Brother Jeremy, God can bring something out of trauma that you never thought can be brought out of the trauma. And it'll be a fruitful, beneficial thing for you and the people who partake in it with you. Yes? Let me keep reading. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord, like he said, makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone says glory. Why don't you just indulge me right now and say that? Say glory.
Glory.
Yeah. I want you to say it again. Say glory.
Glory.
You see how that changes the atmosphere. And you see how it changes the environment. And when you give God praise, it does something. Mm-hmm. See, you're going to learn this morning, even in the middle of your storm, if you just lift up his name, no matter what's happening around you, there's going to be something happening within you. Yeah. Let's keep reading. Verse 10. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I'm going to talk to you this morning from this topic: God, the storm, and you. God, the storm, and you. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to help me to declare this with clarity, with boldness. God, you know how I feel in the weakness of my frame. But God, that doesn't stop you from being who you are. Because you're God no matter what. No matter what we're going through, you're still sovereign. And so, Father, I submit myself to you. And I ask that you would be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, sometimes when we go through a storm, the enemy likes to take advantage of our vulnerability. And he likes to squeeze inside of the storm and make all kinds of stuff seem bigger than it actually is. And what happens is when the enemy comes in, he's like a bully. He just likes to beat up on people and push people around. But you know, sometimes we, even though God has blessed us in many ways, there has to come a time in your life where you get and you say, I'm not going to be pushed around anymore. And you begin to look at him like you look at any other bully that tries to bully you. You give him that look like, you with me? You talking to me? And it has to come a time when you quit backing down and running away or shrinking back from the thing that is coming at you, and you take a stand. Because God has proclaimed that when we have faith inside of us, we can speak to mountains, and those mountains have got to get out of the way. And you don't have to sit there and worry about the effect that the mountain or the situation has on you. That mountain or that situation needs to worry about the effect you are going to have on it. And so, it's a good challenge for us today. Somebody needs to know that today is the end of it all. It's your last day today. Today, you're going to turn around because something is going to turn around in your life today. Yeah. I want you to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to get all of y'all stand up right now, and I want you to turn around. Because you've been standing there and you've been facing situations and it seems like the thing ain't changing. But I got news today. It's going to all turn around today. It's all going to change. It's going to move today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's going to turn around. Today is turnaround Sunday. It was something yesterday. It was a problem before. But today it's going to turn around. Hallelujah. Come on. It's going to change. You can be seated. This is Turnaround Sunday. It's all going to change. And so sometimes you have to tell yourself, talk to yourself in the weeks to come, that when you see the storm coming your way or trying to cause problems for you, you tell them, last Sunday I turned around. And God turned it around. And he's going to turn around today. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about how we need to change the way we think. And in the middle of a storm, you need to change what you think of that storm. Because we think that a storm has come to devastate us, has come to destroy us. But can I bless you with something today? That storm is there because God is going to bless you in the middle of the storm. And if you never had that storm, you'll never experience God the way he wants you to experience him in the middle of that storm. But I dare you to believe that no matter how tough it gets, that the tough are going to, let me tell you something, no matter how tough it gets, God's going to be tougher in the middle of your storm. Hallelujah. Now, we can suddenly be impacted by all kinds of storms in our lives. We can suddenly, all of a sudden, we can have financial storms. We can have relationship storms. We can have health storms and emotional storms. We can even have the storms that were talked about in our famous American soap opera, Secret Storms. We can have those storms that nobody knows about that is secret. You know, those storms that you don't want to talk to anybody else about, because you're afraid they're going to try to quote some scriptures at you and try to tell you what you need to do and try to help you turn around. But there are times that no matter what people say to you, the only thing that's going to comfort you in the middle of your storm is a word from God. Amen. I've had many people trying their best interests and their great sincerity to speak what they call a word from God. And all that thing did was make me angrier. But I want to tell you something. When you're in need of a word from God in the middle of your storm, I'm going to encourage you today, no matter how loud that storm is, God is louder still. And he will speak to you in the middle of your storm. Somebody needs a word this morning. And you are in a storm. But I want to give you an encouragement this morning that God is speaking to you even now, right in the middle of your storm. And if you just hold steady, you're going to hear what he has to say to you, and it's going to turn your thing around. Y'all pray for me. I got this allergy thing, but it seems like this allergy thing is trying to turn to asthma. But I said no. You know, there has to come a time when you say no. The reality may be is that it is trying to do that, but that don't mean I got to give in to it. I got to say no. And sometimes we act like victims when things are hurtful towards us, and we back down, we shy away. But sometimes we got to say no. 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 Now, when you go through a natural storm, someone can help you out with an umbrella or a raincoat, can't they? And go through a natural storm. But in the kind of storms that I'm talking about today, a raincoat can't help you, nor can an umbrella help you. But there's only one thing that can help you, and that's God's word, and your understanding of why the storm is there. Because some of us think the storm comes as a weapon or tool of the enemy to destroy our life. But can I mess up your theology? The storm doesn't come because of the enemy. The storm comes because of God. And I want to help you this morning. I want to help myself too. Because I feel like this storm of this thing on me is trying to overwhelm me, but I'm going to keep saying no. Now, in some storms we're experiencing, we can experience, needs more than just a hug. It needs a word from God. So I want to speak to three types of people today. I want to speak to three types of people. Because no matter where you are in life, you are one of these people. I want to speak to people who are in a storm. I want to speak to people who are about to go in a storm. Because believe it or not, if you live long enough, you will go through a storm in your life. And I want to speak to those people who have come out of a storm. Those are the people that are saying, praise God. I'm done. It's through with me. But you'll keep going and you'll find that storms are not a one-time thing. They serve as something that will strengthen you and bring you to another level in God for his plan. It is the storm that determines what is inside of you. And you won't know what's inside of you until you get through or into a storm. Now, in Matthew 7, you don't have to turn, but Matthew 7 tells us there are two ways to build and prepare for a storm. You know about the building on the sand or building on the rock, yes? If you're familiar with that script, if you're familiar with that scripture, wave your hand like this. So, yeah. Yeah, see, there are people who know the word of God. And it says that there are two types of people. There are foolish people who build on the sand. And then there are wise people who build on the rock. And the reason, he says that the people who, and it's obvious, but not so obvious. The reason why he says they're foolish because they build on the sand is because he's talking about a person who builds superficially in their lives. You know, we look at the scriptures that we like. The scriptures that we don't like, we put to the side. But wise people, they build on the rock. That means they dig down deep, you see. And the reason why they're wise, and it's a challenging thing to dig deep, is because sometimes you have to bring out some of the stuff that you buried deep in your life and that you're hiding from and you don't want anybody or you don't want to face it anymore. But in order for you to stand strong in a storm, you've got to deal with the stuff that you've buried. You know, the stuff that you, the failures from the past, that you don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. The treatment that you may have received when you were younger, or the disappointments that you may have gone through, that if somebody even mentions or thinks about that situation now, it is still an open wound and it's still challenging for you to deal with. God wants to deal with that by his word. Because if he can deal with that by his word, the enemy will never be able to manipulate your life with the same stuff that is buried deep in it. Mm-hmm. God wants to get to that stuff because it's in the getting down deep that God establishes you in a way there ain't no storm. Listen, there's no storm. There's no difficulty. There's nothing that can sway you or cause you to give up hope because of where you are established. I've been through some stuff in my life. But God has had to deal down deep, way down. Because real easy to deal with the stuff that you like, build on the sand, the superficial issues that really, you know how it looks good? You know, have you ever been and met people where everything looks good outside? And they smile at you, got the Colgate grin, and then when something happens, they become real shaky. And God don't want you to be shaky. He wants you to be firm and strong. But you got to dig down deep to get it. So that's what Matthew 7 tells us. Stuff that makes you a little shaky, he wants to deal with. So you can dig it up. See, sometimes there are things, like for instance, there are things that I can I just be real with you? There are things that come up in your life that have been painful to you. If you don't allow God to bring healing, to deal with the pain, there'll always be an opportunity for the enemy to manipulate. I'm talking truth here. He wants to heal and make you whole. I'm talking like a father this morning. Because I want the people I'm responsible for to be strong in God, to stand strong for him, so that he can look any adversary in the eye and say, this far and no further. Ooh. I messed up one knee. Came close to messing up another one. So, he wants to dig down deep. He wants to build wise. Gets rid of all of that reactionary stuff and anxiety that may build up in our lives. When something happens, we react to it because it's not properly dealt with. And God wants to deal with it. He wants to show us who he is by working in the storm or working on you in the storm. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 14. He wants to deal. God wants to do two things in the storm. There's two things he's going to do. He's either going to work with you or he's going to work with the storm. He's either going to work with you or he's going to work with the storm. He's not going to work with anything else. Anybody else? Because we like to say, oh, the reason why I'm like that is because of him. Because of her. But God's going to deal with you, or he's going to deal with the storm. He's not worried about him or her. He's worried about you. Listen to me. If you don't hear it, he's going to deal with you, or he's going to deal with the storm. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to hurry up as fast as I can. Boy, the time is already gone. Man alive, look at that. Can y'all bear with me today? Matthew 14, verse 22. I'm going to move quick. Verse 22. Now, he who received seed... No, that's wrong. 14:22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him the other side. While he went to the other side, a multitude away, He sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto the mountain himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried, "Ah." Listen, because of what they were taught, they immediately misunderstood or did not recognize who Jesus was. What they were seeing was an old sea ship maritime tale that was told to them that if you see somebody or see something walking on the water, it was a bad spirit. Now listen to me. In order for us to understand what God is doing in the middle of the storm, sometimes we have to jettison all of those previous experiences that have not benefited us in any way. Some of the previous misconceptions that we may have had have to go. But I want you to see this too. In verse 20, verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch, the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw it, he was walking on the sea. They were troubled and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. See, it's when the word of God hasn't gone deep enough. It's that stuff, that residue stuff that's in our lives that causes us to misjudge or misunderstand the situation that we're in. And so we call something that is potentially good, something that is potentially beneficial to us, we say it's bad. And there's Jesus walking to them, but because of their previous experiences, they say the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is a problem for them. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we don't want to hear the stuff that we need to hear, but we need to have the word of God. I don't care how you, what word you like want more, but you need to take all of that word. Not just part of it, but all of that word. And here's Jesus walking to them, and they say he's a ghost. He's this, he's that. Listen, sometimes you're going to misunderstand what God's doing in your life, but you have got to trust him, and you've got to know he has your benefit. Glory be to God. He has your best interest at hand. He's not in this for himself. Listen, beloved, he's in this for you. And we've got to see that. And he said, but can I say, let me just quickly say, you know what it says, and Peter's in the boat and he says, "If it's you, Lord, bid me to come to you on the water." If we're going to see and get the best out of our storm, we got to be hungry for more than what we're receiving. And Peter was hungry for more. Oh, he didn't listen to what everybody else was saying inside the boat. Peter said, "If it's you, bid me to come to you on the water." And because of his hunger, Peter stepped out of the normal, out of the ordinary, and got into the supernatural, beloved. And that's what God wants for you and me. Get us out of the normal. We do normal stuff all the time. Beloved, don't you know you were created for more than normality? You were created for the supernatural working and purpose of God in your life. Amen. Amen. That's what we're creating. Peter said, I don't want this stuff. You guys can sit here and you can see the only one who allowed the word to go deep was Peter. Peter said, you can sit here if you want. You can sit in this boat if you want. I'm tired of just doing the normal stuff, the ordinary stuff. God promised me that the signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of his word. I know we get tired of hearing it because we don't see it that much. But that doesn't change the fact that he wants it to happen. I believe in him. I'm sorry. I believe in God working miracles. I believe in a miracle working God. I believe in a healing God. I believe in a life changing God. I believe in a God who wants to fill us with the Spirit. I believe in a God who wants to deliver us from evil. I believe in that God. And so Peter, he gets out of the boat and he wants the unusual stuff. He was willing to step out of the boat because he was hungry. So God spoke to Peter. But God also speaks to the storm. I want you to go to Mark chapter 4. He also speaks to the storm. And on the same day, verse 35, on the same day when the evening had come, he said, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along into the boat as he was. And the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against the boat, so that it was already filling up. Listen, I don't know about you, but I feel sorry for the disciples because we, you know, it says they had little faith. But how would we react if we were in that boat? And that boat was filling up with water. You know, we can look at it and say, "Oh, you, oh, those boys, they had no faith. They need faith." But I don't know about you, but I'd have been like the first one back there, "Jesus! Jesus!" Shaking them and... "Wake up!" We like to think we're good. "Oh, it's cool. We're going to be all right. Jesus in the boat." No, 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 no. "Jesus!" I'd have been shaking him. You know, Greg, you know. I'd have been shaking him. I'd have been waking him. And I would have been baking him. He was going to be getting up. One way or the other. And they screamed and shake him and said, "Don't you care?" Now that's a crazy question, because Jesus had already said to them that we are going to the other side. He'd already said that to them. And they said, "Don't you care? Don't you care we're going to perish?" And I just think in my mind, I don't know about you, but in my mind and in my head, I'm thinking, Jesus, what if he would have said, "No, I really don't care." Y'all got a problem, because I could walk out of here. Well, what if he had said that? That would have been a real issue for them. But this time, he's not speaking to them. He's speaking to the storm. And he says to the storm, "Peace, be still." And that's a powerful statement that he made when he said, "Peace, be still." Because he was not asking the storm to be still. That original translation of those two words mean he extracted the power from the storm. And I don't care what storm you may be in, if God speaks to your storm, it may seem powerful, but when Jesus speaks to it, he takes the power out and he replaces it with his peace. Sometimes we need God to speak into our stuff. I don't need him necessarily to do something for me, you know. He can speak to me and give me the power to walk on the storm. Yeah, he can do that. But sometimes he needs to speak to the storm to show you, listen, these two things happen to show the disciples who he is. Because the problem in our storm, the reason why we have a struggle, is we don't quite know who Jesus really is and what he's really capable of. So in order to teach us, remember I talked to you some weeks ago about understanding the width, the breadth, knowledge, the length, the depth, the height. He has to take us to some extremes to teach us who he is. So that we can find out that, yeah, the next time I run into a storm, he's got my back. I know he does. Because he did it before. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 29 now. We're going to get ready to hurry up and get done. Helps you learn. Remember that song? "How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Now listen, when we sing that chorus, that's fine. But you got to know what's behind that chorus to be able to sing it with passion. And you got to know him. If you're going to be able to function with passion, see that chorus says the splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. And the Bible says, the chorus also goes on to say, he wraps himself in light and darkness tries to hide. Let me tell you something. God ain't trying to fight with your enemy. God is not trying to arm wrestle with your enemy. When Jesus shows on the scene, the enemy is trying to get away from your King because he knows who has the power. He knows who has the power. What God is trying to teach us, we've got to learn who has the power. I know we know it in our head, but as soon as the storm comes, we resort back. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? So, Psalm 29, 1 through 2 says, Psalm 29, you there? I'm going to get done very quickly. Comb. In my Bible, what's that there for? It says in verse 1 and 2, give unto the Lord, you, O you mighty ones. And it's just talking about worship. That in the middle of your storm, don't let the enemy silence your worship. Don't let them stop you from worshiping, no matter how painful it gets. Remember in 1 Samuel, there was a woman named Hannah, who the Bible says that God had made her womb barren. Yes, there we go. Good word. Made her barren. God made her barren. Let me ask you a question. What do you do when God doesn't let you produce fruit? Because we in an ideal world think that God's going to give us everything we want, anyhow we want it, and every how we want it. We just think that all God's going to make us fruitful. That's his plan. But what if he doesn't? What do you do then? Because here's a situation where Hannah, the Bible says, she had no kids. Peninnah had more than enough. And she was a braggart. I got the kids. Hannah, you ain't got none. Look at me. I got fruit, and you ain't got none. Nah, 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 nah. So Hannah could have easily responded to Peninnah, you know, crack, could have easily responded, but she didn't. She kept focusing on God in worship, and Hannah, because of her focus, she was brought forth with a son named Samuel. Now, you got to understand the importance of this birth. This is the importance. This was the transition from judges to kings. From fleshly control to kingly, godly leadership. And God was bringing them into a transition. And beloved, the only way we're going to be able to see that kind of transition in our lives is when we set our minds on worshiping him, no matter what our circumstances are. Even if I don't have what I'd like to have, Brother Jeremy, if I keep my mind stayed on him, you know, Brother Marlon, you've been in a storm, but let me tell you something. There's a bright day coming, a sunny day coming. And the reason why that sunny day come is because you worship him in the middle of your storm. The sunny day is going to come with this reason, because you have received a sunny day. You're going to be able to share a sunny day with people who are in dark times. You're going to be light in the middle of darkness. Glory be to God. Now, I know y'all think about this food back there because y'all smelling it. Y'all are, aren't you? Come on, you know you are. I can smell it too. I might be done in a minute. Secondly, Let me just close. I'm going to get ready to close with this. Like, here it is, so you can understand. You can understand this. See, this is God. This is the storm. And at foot level is you. Mm-hmm. Listen, we always think because we can't see God and all we can see is the storm that God's not speaking. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. God is speaking through the storm to you. And as he speaks through the storm, sometimes he speaks to the storm. And when he speaks to the storm, that's when you get the sunny days and the blessings in. And you feel that there's an open heaven in your life. But God allows the storm to build something in you. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. See, he says, he sits king of the flood. That's what the text says, right? So God's not trying to figure out a way to deal with your situation. He already knows how he's going to deal with your situation. He needs you to trust him and be confident in what he's going to do. He's up there looking down, and sometimes it feels like, you know what I'm trying to say to you? Sometimes, do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we're like, where are you, God? Where are you in all of this? And God is saying, I'm here. Better yet, his perspective is there, but his physicality is where you are in the middle of the storm. And he knows what he's doing. Listen, I'm going to get done. He said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not burn, nor shall the flame kindle on. Isn't that amazing? When you go through a fiery time, you're going to come out not even smelling like smoke. Isn't that great? Not even the smell of smoke on you. And beloved, the Bible says when they went through the Red Sea, they went over on dry land. So you're going to even go through the flood and come out without any water on you. Dry. Okay. And the Bible says, Psalm 29, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits king forever. He sits king forever. He sat enthroned over the flood, and he sits king forever. His job with you in dealing with the flood is not part-time. It is full-time. And it is forever until we get to see him. See, when you're in the storm, never think that you're in it by yourself. He's with you. Speaking through the storm. If his voice is piercing the fire, it's piercing your storm. I know what time is gone, but I want to pray for people who've got stuff buried down in their experience, which is stopping you from realizing who he really is.